so that it might eat and may grow flourishing to be the call of the whole world into the will of God, celestial core of my help. And I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I will come up for blessing and anointing. Oh, this is the prayer. Volume 30, December 25th, 1931. Louisa says, I feel myself as though being inundated by the sea of light of the divine will. Oh, how I would really like to be the tiny little fish in this ocean, the sea, in such a way as to see nothing other but light and touch, to breathe, to live of light. Oh, how happy I would be to hear said to me that I am the daughter of the Celestial Father. See, and this is what we're looking for. We're longing for this. How happy we would be to hear said to us that we are the children of the Celestial Father. And while I was thinking of this and other things, my dear life, my sweet and sovereign Jesus, visiting my little soul, made himself seen in the seas of interminable light coming out from within his most adorable person. From within this light came out souls that populated the earth and all of heaven. And Jesus calling me, told me, my daughter Louisa, come into this light. I want you here, Louisa. The virtue of my light, its motion, its fount of life, does nothing other than unleash souls, that is, the life of creatures, from within its womb of light. So here, Jesus says, this ocean of light coming from within his adorable person, and from in this light came out souls that populated both heaven and earth. And he says, Louisa, you must come into this light. I, God, want you here. This virtue of my light, is motion, is the font of life that does nothing other than unleash souls, that is, life of souls, life of creatures, from within its womb of light. See, everything has to be in this life of God. And this is why our God wants. He wants us to participate in him. Very clear. Its power is so great that as it moves, it admits souls. This is life. This is the life of God. And I, God, want my beloved together with me in the womb of my light, that is, of my divine will. So Jesus always says, when I speak about myself, I'm always speaking about my mother. So it's Jesus and Mary with their beloved daughter, Louisa. As souls are formed and admitted outside, I, God, do not want to be alone, but I, God, want your company, that you, Louisa, may recognize the great portent of the creation of souls. This is our excess of love. And I, since I, God, want you, Louisa, in my holy divine will, I, God, want to deposit them in you, Louisa. I want to entrust these souls to you, Louisa, not leaving them alone while they journey as pilgrims to the earth, but having someone together with me, Louisa, in order to protect them and defend them for me. So who is protecting us in the divine will? Who is doing this? It's Louisa Picaretta. And see, we have to begin to understand. This is why you pray to Louisa. Jesus has put Louisa in charge of us. He says it numerous times, look at all the souls around you. Louisa says, who are these souls? And Jesus says, these are the souls that I've entrusted to you, Louisa. You must take care of them as a mother takes care of their children. So Louisa is the little mama of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Again, how glorious is this? He gives us a third mother. Yeah, this is what God is doing. We have our natural mother. We have Mary, the mother of all mankind. And now we have Louisa, the little mother of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Oh, how sweet is the company of the one, Louisa, who takes care of the lives that come out of God. This is so pleasing to me that I, God, make Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, the depository of the creation of souls. Luisa is the channel by which I, God, let them come out into the light. See, again, the birth canal, if you want to say. Who is giving birth to us, Jesus says, is Luisa. Now, Mary has done that with all creation. Mary is our mother. Now, Jesus says, those that are going to live in the divine will are going to come through this channel, Luisa. And the channel to let them re-enter into the fatherland. We're going back to heaven. We're going to live in Eden. Our place is paradise. It's not earth. See, Jesus is saying to us, you have to understand, it's not here that I want you. I want you to re-enter into the celestial fatherland. Everything do I, God, want to give to the one, Luisa, who lives in my fiat. So how do we get back to heaven? We get back to heaven with the pure life of Jesus and the pure life of Mary found in Luisa. See, heaven begins now with Luisa. And as you begin to live this, you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. Volume 30, January 3rd, 1932. When we have the great glory of forming this kingdom inside of one creature alone, Luisa shall be like sun. Now that's what the Vatican has said. The sun of my will is Luisa Picaretta. Such that all have the right to enjoy and possess this light of Luisa. That's what the Vatican is telling us. Now that book, there's books back there. If you haven't got one, you know, I'm asking everybody to form a ministry. What is the ministry that Jesus wants you to do? Absolutely. You go to the priest and you say, Father, can you help me with this? And if he says yes, great. If he says no, find another priest. But you see, the priests have to have this. That green book is made for priests. That green book is made for bishops. Once they read this, and once they read that the Vatican has said, the one who has this light, this sun, is Luisa Picaretta, they're going to say, I want to know more about this. So this is, it's glorious. Make this your ministry. You know, your ministry could be making sure that you have the Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary. Father Bucci's book, biography of Luisa, thanks. Also, the others is the Be Attentive book and the You Must Know book. These are important for us, but what you can do is you can give these to your friends and your family and just say, can you read this with me? And then call them and say, on page such and such, what'd you think? Well, I really didn't have time to read. Well, okay. Read it and tell me what you think. Call me when you get a chance. Then you call back next week. Now, what'd you think of volume, you know, page 3? Well, read it again and then get back to me. You know, see, you want to just nobody's going to read it, you know, because they don't want it. But what you're doing is just asking them, once they get hooked on this, there's no turning back. I mean, this is not about saintliness or goodness or holiness. Jesus says this, more than son, Luisa shall give to all souls the right to possess a kingdom so holy. This is Luisa's job, and now we are working with Luisa. And we, with this infinite wisdom, shall abound with graces, with light, with helps, with surprising means, so that they may let the kingdom of my divine will reign in their midst. Therefore, let me do. And when it is your Jesus that has told you this, that's enough. It is already though already done. It is though already done. All evils and all creatures together have no power, have no right over our most holy divine will, nor can they prevent a single act of our divine will, wanted by decrees of our divine wisdom. See, God decreed creation. God decreed redemption. And now he's decreeing sanctification. This is where we are. This is why this is so glorious. And the more that you focus on this, the happier you're going to be. Then I continued to think of the divine fiat, and my sweet Jesus added, my poor daughter Luisa, my divine will is light. The human will is the dark room in which the poor creature lives. As my most holy divine wills enter into this dark room, it remains all invested by this divine light that illuminates everything, even the most remote and hidden little hidden places of the soul, and it makes its light itself light of the thought, light of the word, light of the works, light of the steps, but with a marvelous variety. And though it takes on a variety of colors animated by divine light, the word takes on another variety of colors, the action, the steps, other varieties of colors. And as the soul, Louisa, repeats the thought, repeats the words, repeats the actions, the steps, animated by the light of my holy divine will, so are all the hues of the divine colors formed. The beauty of it is such that they are all colors animated by divine light. See, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. We're going to hear things that we've never heard before. And why? Because Jesus, the Word, has dictated these words to Louisa. These are not human words. And as you read this, as you study this, as you long for this, God reveals in technicolor what He's saying. You know, what we've learned from the saints is black and white and two-dimensional. What we're learning in the divine will is technicolor and three-dimensional. What is happening is Jesus is bringing us to an awareness that only Adam had, that only Jesus and Mary had. The only one who ever possessed this besides Adam and Jesus and Mary was Louisa. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to see things from a divine perspective. This is where all these colors and hues are. Animated by divine light. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the creature animated by the rainbow of our divine colors. Now think about this. The rainbow has been taken over by the gay community. But the gay community doesn't use seven colors. The gay community uses six colors. Why? The color, what is the color that they don't use? Anybody know? What was that? Indigo. That's correct. Why? Indigo represents the Blessed Mother. It's the color that they eliminate. They have six colors. Now the true rainbow has seven colors. Yeah, we're going to see colors that we've never seen before in the divine will. So you can have a rainbow and it doesn't mean you're gay. If you have six colors, maybe. But you know, if you have seven, you know, it's This is the promise of God. So Jesus says this, oh, how beautiful it is to see the creature animated by the rainbow of our divine colors. It is one of the most beautiful scenes that the soul presents to us and makes us enjoy. We look at Louisa and we see that those are nothing other than reflections of our divine thoughts, our divine actions, and so forth, that has formed the variety of our divine colors. And our divine will displays its display of divine light in the acts of the soul who, with her sweet enchantment, enraptures us, triune God, and makes us, triune God, the spectators of our own divine acts. And oh, how we await with all love the repetition of these scenes so beautiful and so delightful. See, this is divine. It's not human. You have to understand what God is calling us to is a share in divinity. To understand this, read the Epistle of St. Peter. He talks about being divinized. It's very clear. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but now is the time that Jesus is explaining this divinization. Volume 30, March 13th, 1932. My daughter Louisa, the soul who enters into my most holy divine will, converts into light. And all her acts, without losing anything of their diversity, of their nature, and of what they are in themselves, are vivified and animated by divine light. And so all the acts, though distinct among themselves, have divine light of my fiat as life. And my fiat delights in forming with its life of light, now the thought, now the word, now the work, now the step, and so forth. And the soul as the original heaven, animated by the fiat, forms with her acts the sun, the stars, the sea that always murmurs, the wind that moans, that speaks, that shouts, that whistles, that caresses and forms its refreshment, The soul gives divine light to her Creator, to herself, and it descends even to the depths of all souls, past, present, and future. Since the light is fecund and has the virtue of diffusing everywhere by itself, Luisa forms the most beautiful flowerings, but all invested with divine light. And here is how my divine will repeats its beloved creation in the soul who lives in its light, or rather, as an even more beautiful one, because the creation is mute, and if it eloquently speaks, it does so always in its mute language, while the creation it forms in the soul is all speaking. The sun speaks of her works, the sea of her thoughts, the wind of her words, the treading of her steps, that as she walks leaves the virtues of its flowers, and everything Luisa does speaks like brilliant stars that, with their twinkling, pray, love, praise, bless, repair, and thank continuously without ever ceasing. That supreme fiat with so much love delights in forming in them the beauty, beautiful speaking of creation, all animated by its divine light. See, this is not human. See, Jesus is saying, I want you now to enter into heaven. I want to share with you divinity. I want you to become the drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day so that you share in the divinity of Christ. See, he wants us to be like him. And this is what he's doing. He has waited to this point to give us this gift. God is doing this. And he shows us the one who possesses it is Luisa. Read what Jesus did with Luisa. Long for what Jesus did with Luisa. Begin to live the life that Jesus gave to Luisa. See, this is why you don't need a religious community. You don't need to follow the rules of a saint. Those are good and holy and saintly. It's not divine. Jesus is asking us to embrace the divine. That's what the divine will is. Who has verified this? The Vatican. Read the Green Book. It's all through it. This is divinity. This is so glorious that our God has allowed us to live at this time to embrace these truths that he breathed into Luisa. My blessed daughter Luisa, for the one who does not live in my divine will, it is his sun for the idol, for however much it invests them with its light, it darts them with its heat. They do nothing, they learn nothing, they earn nothing, they render the light of the sun sterile for themselves. And since they are doing nothing, they are tired, they become bored by that same light, and they seek darkness as a rest for their unhappy idleness. Instead, for the one who works, the light is operating. The light to the eye in order to let her see what she must do. But for however much light is on the outside, if her eye does not have life of the light that surrounds her will be of no use. And if she does not have the external light, the life of the light in her eye will be of no use. My paternal goodness has placed such union of accord between eternal light, the creature, and that of her eye, that one cannot operate without the other. The light to the hand, that if she wants to work, she wants to write, if she wants to read, and so forth. So on the first part, works in the creature. She takes the light without it. It would almost be almost difficult for her to be able to do any good or to be able to earn the crust of bread in order to live. Now, such is the light of my divine will for the one who does not live in the divine will. The divine will invests all and exists for all, but it is neither operating nor dominating in the act of the soul. This one, with all its light, remains idle. This one doesn't learn a thing about the divine, nor can the soul make any contact. And the most beautiful things are tiring and annoy him. That's where people are today. I try to show people, especially religious and priests, the divine will, and they go, I have no time for that. You know, I've got my things that I've got to do, and you look at them and says, but you're going to enter into the divine life. And they go, yeah, no, it's not for me. It's for, Jesus says, I want this for you. He's saying this to us. They don't want it. Do you want it? So he says, the human will that wants to live in mind as the eye full of light, that makes itself capable of uniting with the light of my divine will, that placing themselves in accord does and forms labors and prodigious works as to amaze both heaven and earth. See therefore what living in my divine will means. It is not to be idle. The little light of the soul harmonizes with the light of the eternal fiat, and in order to render it operating in her acts and thus forming the inseparability of the one and the other. So that's what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to allow him to be one with him and to enter into this life that it doesn't stop. It's producing life. It's generating life continuously. That's why he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And again, this wasn't just for children. Be fruitful of every thought. Be fruitful for every word. Be fruitful for every deed. Let it bring divine life in everything that you think, say, and do. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. It's continuous. Even while you're sleeping, come divine will, sleep in my sleeping. Come divine will, reign in me while I am zonked out. Continue to do what you want to do. We give God freedom to do what he wants while we're sound asleep. And it works. You'll see when you get to heaven what God did while you were sleeping. And you're going to be amazed because you didn't get in his way because you were sound asleep. You know, that was so beautiful is you say, Lord, sleep in my sleeping. To do what you have to do. And then you go to sleep. So you're giving God permission to do what he wants. And I'll tell you, you're going to see things, you're going to experience things that are really, really astonishing. Volume 31, October 16th, 1932. The divine volition always goes weaving its divine life in my soul. And with its sweet enchantment, it makes it grow, it molds it, it nourishes it, and with its wings of light, covers it and hides it, so that not one breath of wind can harm it, nor could impede the growth of its life in my soul. See how Louisa has surrendered everything to God. Oh, if it were not for the divine will, more than a tender and loving mother holds me in its arms, covers with its light in the circumstances of my life. Alas, too sorrowful, I do not know what I would do. But its light calms me, this light strengthens me, and light draws me on. And oh, adorable will, how much I must thank you for such a great good. And I offer you the infinity of your own divine will in order to thank you as you, God, deserve. See, it's to give to God what belongs to God. All honor, all glory, all praise, all love, all thanksgiving. All worship, as God rightly deserves to be worshipped. And so while my mind felt itself under its weight, my beloved Jesus, repeating his brief little visit to my soul, told me, my blessed daughter, Louisa, how beautiful it is to see the creature growing under the wings of the light of my most holy divine will. See, this isn't human. Growing under the wings of divine light of my divine will. Enveloping this divine light, the soul neither sees nor hears nor touches anything but her mother's light that keeps her wrapped up. And if the creatures wound her, beat her, embitter her, she feels more squeezed and clasped to its arms of light, responds with a smile of light to whomever wants to embitter and wound her. And joking with them, she confounds their human perfidy. Oh, power of my operating will. It slips away from everyone, triumphs over everyone, and with its divine light forms its throne of immortal glory in the soul who gives the freedom to operate. Gives it the freedom to operate. We're going to learn things that the saints only dreamed of. And see, the great thing about this is, as you read, God's going to give you things that he will give to no one else. You have different color irises. You have different fingerprints. Your hair is different. Your textures are different. Why? He loves this uniqueness. And as you grow in the divine will, God is going to teach you. So people that sell books, this is how you should live in the divine will, don't bother reading them. Read the book of heaven. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus show you the way. It's very, very powerful. You will love God more than any other soul that can possibly love God. How? Because in your unique way, no one can love God the way you love God. What he wants to bring about is he wants you to realize that you have your own, it's like having your own personal God. No one can love God the way you love God. And see, this is what he wants to teach you. You're not going to learn from, you know, somebody giving you a book how to learn how to live in the divine will. As you read, Jesus is speaking to you. He says, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love this. As you read, as you make the commitment to Jesus Christ, you will rise to great heights of sanctity that no one else can. Why? They can't. Your uniqueness is so important to God that he needs you to go to him so that he can form in you his love, his light, his life that no one else can have. See, it's God is, why is he giving this to us now? Because he wants to say to the devil, I've given you everything. I've given you 100 years more than what you should have been given. And it's going to look as if Adam didn't sin. With this repairing, redoing in the divine will, the devil is going to be so humiliated, he's going to be at the pit of hell for all eternity, cursing himself. Why? Because God is even greater than this fraud. God is even greater than this devil. And he's going to prove to the devil that all his lies, all that he did, amounted to nothing, because God is greater. God is more loving. And what he's doing with this gift of the divine will, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned, which means we will have a divine anesthesia. We will not be able to remember any sin. It will look as if we always did the will of God. This repairing, this redoing is what God is asking of us. And this is why, I mean, read this. How beautiful it is to see Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa growing under the wings of the light of my divine will. That's us. Don't limit God. Let God have his way with you. 535, March 28, 1938, you must know that the creature who does her acts in our divine will makes complete and perfect acts. These aren't human. These are complete and perfect acts. No human can do that. But the one who lives in our divine will is always in the divine will and finds herself under the continuous reign of divine light that pours all the effects of the various beauties of our divine life over her. And as a soul moves, palpitates, or breathes, our divine being is most pure light. And although being endless light, it encloses all the possible and imaginable goods. It is light, and it is word that all eyes, it looks everywhere. Nothing can hide from us, triune God. This light is also work. It is step. It is life that gives life to everyone and everything. It contains inexhaustible beauties and endless joys and happiness. Now, the one who lives in our divine will is always under the reign of light, of our ruling and creative word. Oh, how our word transforms this creature. Always speaking to her about our supreme being. Always producing all our divine effects upon Louisa. And with such variety of beauty that we ourselves remain enraptured. We, triumph God, remain enraptured looking at Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Our gaze of light is constantly on Louisa. Our step always runs towards Louisa. Our works always hug Louisa with their arms of divine light, squeezing Louisa onto our lap, and all of them pour light upon Louisa to communicate to Louisa our divine gaze of divine light, our divine works, and our divine steps of divine light. Therefore, Louisa, the one who always lives in our divine will, is in continuous and direct communication with her God and receives all the effects that God can produce. On the other hand, the one who operates in the divine will is in communication with our works, and our works are molded with our works. So, Jesus is saying two things. Number one, the soul who does her acts in the divine will, and the one who lives one with God, fused with God. Jesus is asking us to let go of the saintly, doing the will of God, and entering into the life of God. Entering into the light of God, entering into the love of God, one with God, fused with God, living with God, possessing God, God possessing us. See this? So this is why our Lord is asking us to let go of the things of this earth and begin to embrace the things of heaven. So we're going to do two things, well, three things. Number one, we'll pray the prayer, if we can, get on our knees, of consecration of the divine will. Then if you want to come up and get anointed with the oil of Louisa, and if those who haven't received the apostleship from Father Bucci, come up and we'll give that to you. Father Bucci said, I want to give to you what Louisa gave to me. Louisa gave to me, Louisa held me, Louisa held me, kissed me, prophesied over me. Louisa asked me to be an apostle of the divine will, and he says, I want to give this to you. And so with this, it's a great blessing, and I hope that if you want it, you can receive it. So please kneel for the consecration and the blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors to make me enter into it, to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children, your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech you in your poor grandest light, that any want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I may do nothing other but comprehend and live in your divine will. It would be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and will form into a being of peace, happiness, and of love. With it, I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take me by the hand and then clothe me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child and will teach me to live and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive to your speech to you. You will lay your mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate in the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good Jesus, you give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me. to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you be my protector, the custodian of my heart, will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never to want. Guardian angel, guard me and help me in everything.